It is a great day to be here together. We appreciate your presence so very much. It's nice and cold outside. Fall is here. Randy's in his purple blazer. All is right in the world. Let's open our Bibles together to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. I want us to read this in just a moment, but a little bit of background maybe will be somewhat helpful. It's been a crazy 2 weeks in our country. A lot of folks that are filled with anxiety, some with fear, some with anger, some are giddy over the results. But there seems to be a sense of uneasiness and unrest among so many of our folks. I was walking around Lake Williston yesterday listening to NPR, and things have reached a critical pass when the Pope, in his weekly address, is talking about the fragmentation of our world and how people just can't seem to get together and can't seem to agree on anything, but they are always falling back on accusation and recrimination and suspicion. And then almost on cue, I don't think they realize the irony, those good libs at NPR, but then they followed it up with a story on what is and is not an organic vegetable. Apparently, there's a big argument on that. You wouldn't know that unless you listened to NPR, but they were, organic vegetables are those things without pesticides and chemicals and whatnot. But there are a bunch of people that are taking things like crushed coconut husks and water and growing vegetables in that, and there's a big argument, is that really an organic vegetable or not? And I thought to myself, who cares? I mean, I don't, but that kind of illustrates we can't seemingly agree on much of anything. And we always imagine that whatever crisis we're going through right now is the worst in history. It's never been like this. There's never been such a thing ever. Even though the teacher in Ecclesiastes tells us what? There's nothing new under the sun. I want you to listen to the words of the psalmist in the second psalm, which kind of puts all of this angst and these national feelings of uneasiness to bed. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us burst their bonds apart and cast their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. There is a verse that Toby read a minute ago in Psalm 22 and verse 28. Look at this, and let's use this as the foundation of the next few moments' remarks. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Do you believe that? I do too. God is in control. Whether you believe that or not, God is in control. Whether it looks like it or not, God is in control. Whether you're really happy about the events of the recent election or you're really depressed, God is in control. God has always been in control. And we imagine sometimes that it is not so, and yet it is. You've seen those faces peering out at you over the last couple of millennia, it seems like. Well, one was going to win and one was going to lose. That was going to happen. And most people were thinking that on election night, or at least the day after, there was going to be something cataclysmic. We have a video clip, I believe, of it. Now, you think that's funny. That's a documentary. There are a lot of people that's how they're feeling these days. And believe me, we're not trying to make light of that. When the president-elect is saying things that are racist and sexist and xenophobic, he needs to knock that stuff off. Hopefully, being elevated to the highest office in the land, that will shape and mitigate his behavior. I hope so. I'm going to pray for him, just as I prayed for his predecessor, as I prayed for all of their predecessors. That's what the Bible calls us to do, whether you agree or not. And these folks that are taking to the streets and causing riots and destroying property and saying, not my president? Well, here's a newsflash for you, Poindexter. In a democratic society, when an election takes place, when the guy that wins or the woman that wins, that's the president. And isn't it interesting that nobody from Washington called you or me and asked what our opinion was? They're not going to. But if you're a Christian, here's the thing. We are obligated to be good citizens. We're obligated to be agents of reconciliation, of trying to bring people together instead of dividing people and driving them apart. I referenced several months ago, I got a really interesting invitation from our children's ministers here at PV. And a couple of months ago, I got to go and carry that assignment out. They said, we want you to speak at the tween youth rally, a statewide tween youth rally. I'm like, I'm in. That'd be great. I said, what would you like me to talk about? They said, the election. I said, well, unless there's been a change in the law, I don't think any of the tweens can actually vote, can they? I mean, you know, unless they got fake IDs, they're really convincing. And they said, no, we want you to talk about this because the tweens are scared to death. Now, a little explanation here. How can you be scared to death when you're 10? Not any offense to any 10-year-olds that may be here. When you're 10, you only know what your parents tell you, basically, you know, and what's on Nickelodeon. So how can you be afraid? Well, you know where that was coming from. It's coming from the parents, okay? And I think we had a sermon a few months ago, and the bottom line of the sermon was that all parents need to stop scaring the children and small dogs, okay? Just calm down. Keep calm. Things are going to be all right. But as a student of history, I'm always amazed at how abjectly ignorant most Americans are of their own history. We always imagine that we're the first ones that have experienced anything. There's never been anything like this before. Go back and look a little bit, and you'll see that what Koheleth says in Ecclesiastes is true. There truly is nothing new under the sun. And when you go back and start putting that in perspective, then breathe in, breathe out, calm down a little bit. We hear, for instance, well, there's never been anyone in the White House or in positions of power that is willing to fly off the handle like that. Anybody remember a couple of people named Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr? Remember what happened with that? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Yeah. You know what happened in this instance? Two of the most powerful politicians in the United States despised one another. In fact, Burr, in 1804, Lewis voted for him his senior year in high school. They went to New Jersey and fought a duel with each other. Hamilton had an agreement that he wasn't going to kill anybody, so he intentionally missed. Burr didn't, shot him and killed him. So whoever is going to take over in the next few months, probably not going to do that. So we got that going for us. But we've never had somebody in the Oval Office that makes incendiary statements about immigrants and foreigners and people that are other and look different. But I give you Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory, from Nashville, Tennessee. Ask the Indians, I'm sorry, Native Americans, what they think about Andrew Jackson. You ever heard of the Trail of Tears? You think all those Indians ended up in Oklahoma because it was the best land in America? They got sent there by Jackson. So you've already had someone in there that just rounded up a bunch of folks and said, you can't stay here. Go out where nobody wants you, to a land that no one cares about. But we've never had a time, people say today, when there was such rancor and suspicion and distrust in the political process. And yet, in 1860, when a rail splitter turned country lawyer from Illinois by the name of Abraham Lincoln was elected president, 13 states left, said, we're done. We don't have any part or share with those Yankees in this country. Remember what happened? A cataclysmic civil war that ripped this country in two. I would say things today aren't quite as bad as that. But we've never had a time when people resorted to violence to get their own way. Anybody remember how Lincoln died? Yeah, at the theater. Yeah. Almost happened to Pence the other day, but not quite. Nobody shot him, at least. So they just yelled at him and booed him. What about James Abram Garfield? Member of the Disciples of Christ, Churches of Christ, an elder in the church. Remember what Garfield said upon being elected to the presidency? He said, I'm stepping down from the office of the eldership to the presidency. He's a pretty good man. Remember how it ended for him? A disgruntled office seeker, didn't like not getting the job of his dreams, so he killed him. But, you know, a few years later, to prove that no good deed goes unpunished, we elected an Ohioan to the presidency. William McKinley of Canton. Remember what happened to McKinley? An anarchist that had been born in Alpena, Michigan, a Polish steel worker who was unemployed, decided that no government was better than any government. So he shot McKinley dead. But we elected a religious man, son of a Presbyterian clergyman named Woodrow Wilson. And Wilson campaigned on keeping America out of war. And he won election to the White House. And when he got elected, you know what he did? He put America into the war. One of the most useless, pointless, bloody wars the planet's ever seen. The war to end all wars, except 20 years later, we had another one, just about like it. Well, what happened during those times in between? Well, there was something called the Great Depression. We say, well, it's never been as bad economically as it is today. Anybody lived through the Depression? Just curious. Anybody in here born during the Depression? Raise your hand. A handful, okay? Talk to them. They can talk about what their parents went through. Horrible, horrible times. See that picture? I think that's one of the iconic pictures in American history. That's a woman that doesn't really know where the next meal for her kids is coming from. Do we have people like that today? Yeah, there are people that are nervous, no doubt. I'm just telling you, this isn't anything new. We've had this happen before. Well, what about when the country came out of the Depression, largely because another war started and jump-started industry again? Well, we had FDR, and then we would have his vice president, Harry S. Truman. Anybody remember how it ended for FDR? He died of a cerebral hemorrhage in Warm Springs, Georgia, there on a holiday with his girlfriend, not his wife. So we've never had anybody in the White House that was kind of fast and loose with their marital vows. No, never. Not at all. You remember what happened when Harry S. Truman became president? He was asked how he felt having this job thrust upon him while America was in the midst of a terrible war. He said, I feel as if the moon and the stars and all the planets have fallen down upon me. And then he would end that war by making the momentous decision, not once, not twice, but to use a new weapon that the country had developed out on the steppes of the New Mexico desert at Los Alamos. Well, what happened in the 50s? A lot of Americans say that was America's heyday. That's when the churches of Christ were the fastest growing religious body in the United States. That's true. It's also true that all the religious bodies were growing in the 1950s. It's also a time that there was prosperity, generally. There was a feeling of progress. And yet anyone that lived in the 50s could tell you that that nuclear shadow made everyone just a little uneasy as America and the Soviet Union started jostling back and forth. Any of you remember ducking under the desks? What a stupid drill. Okay, to protect yourself from the hydrogen bomb, duck and cover. Yeah, duck and something. I wouldn't duck and pray, maybe, okay? But you know, a lot of Americans think the 50s were the greatest. Well, ask any black folks how the 50s were. Kind of a tumultuous decade for them. Jim Crow was still in charge in many places in the country. Little kerfuffle down the road at Little Rock Central in 1957. It wasn't always perfect, okay? We just need to have a little bit of balance in our views. But JFK got elected, and it was Camelot. Things were going a lot better for that. By the way, anybody know what happens here just a few minutes after this picture was taken? We won't go through that. A pretty terrible time. Just look around the audience. Raise your hand if you remember where you were when you heard the news out of Dallas. You're going to tell me that these are unprecedented times? I would say that they're not. But a few years later, we got that Texan in the White House. Who holds a dog by the ear? Don't pick up dogs by the ear. Good grief, that ought to disqualify you from office right there. But we say, but Chuck, yeah, you're going through all this, but you're ignoring something. Things have never been as divided as they are today. You know how things were, how divided they were in the 60s? That a fairly popular president who'd won election by a huge total said, I will not seek and I will not accept my party's nomination as president. Because there was such a bad feeling and such division, largely because of Vietnam, he said, I'm quitting. I'm walking away. The guy that replaced him, Richard L. Nixon, as Archie Bunker said, actually Richard M. Nixon. Well, he did okay for a while. You know, played ping pong in China. That was good. You know where this picture's taken from? As he's leaving the presidency. He quit before they fired him. Would you say those were tumultuous times? I was a little kid during Watergate. I remember that very, very well. You talk about people having bad feelings for the president. A lot of them did. I'd say it's the same as it ever was. Well, what about some years later? What about when W was in the White House? A lot of people here probably voted for him. Okay, were things hunky-dory during his reign? Anybody remember what happened on September the 11th, 2001? Next picture, please. Oh, not him. We're skipping him. Don't read anything sinister into it. I just got out of sequence. That's all. Well, he got impeached. You probably remember that, and a lot of you probably voted for him, too. Well, you remember where this was? It was a school in Florida. That was the aide whispering to the president that the nation's under attack while he was reading a book to little kids. Were those easy days? I remember that. I remember where I was when the first plane hit. Some of the secretaries brought a TV into the church office. And when the first one hit, I thought, you know, this is another Joseph Hazelwood and the Exxon Valdez, some nut, you know, crashed a plane into a building. He should have been paying attention. He was probably texting on his BlackBerry. Then a few minutes later, the next plane hit, and what'd everybody think? It's not an accident. And it wasn't. Pretty tough time, as more people were killed on that day than any other day of terroristic activity against our country. What about the last 8 years when President Obama was in? We were told that with the election of an African American that finally, you know, some of this suspicion is going to be put to rest. And, you know, things are going to be better. It's change that you can believe in. Listen, whether you like the man or not, look at that face. Do you understand why God has encouraged the church? Why God has commanded the church to pray for our leaders? I'm not sure you'd wish that job on much of anybody. It just breaks down and ages anyone who's there. So why have we said all of this? We've said it all to say this. Just take a deep breath and recognize that God is on the throne. When we forget that, we imagine that it's about us and that it's not about him. We don't have any business spreading fear and suspicion and rancor and hatred, of taking to the streets and rioting, of cursing people. That's so wrong. I mean, it's wrong in any civilized society. It's especially wrong for people who claim to be followers of Jesus. It just is. I don't want anyone to pick up vibes from me that I'm terrified about what's going to happen. I'm not terrified about anything because I know who is in control. God is in control. We need to be people of hope, not people of fear. We need to be people of love, not people of hate. There's enough of that in the world already. One of my favorite pictures comes out of the Battle of Britain in the early 1940s. Now, set the stage for this. The United States has not entered the war at this point. We didn't get in until that idiotic decision by the imperial regime of Japan to bomb Pearl Harbor. If they'd have left us alone, given the feeling of isolationism, I'm not sure what might have happened. But they didn't, and America finally got in. Before America's entry into the war, Britain was basically fighting Hitler alone on their little island nation, and it did not look good. The British were outgunned. They were outmanned. There was weeping and gnashing of teeth in London. Hitler was firing over his buzz bombs into London. Look closely at the rubble. Things were so bad in London. And I hear these millennials today, nothing against the millennials, but I was so upset about the election, I couldn't take my test. Like, be quiet, would you, okay? You know what millennials were doing in World War II? They were getting shot by the Nazis and by the Japanese, okay? A little perspective, please. But in London, things were so bad that people couldn't protect their own kids. They were sending their children out into the countryside to live with families they didn't even know so their kids could live. Some were living like rats down in the tube in the subway. That's how bad things were. I'll tell you why this is a great picture. That's a milkman. What is he doing? In the day after these buildings are reduced to rubble, he's going about his rounds and he's delivering the milk. Yes, youngsters, they used to deliver milk to your house before Walmart was invented. Look a little closer at his face. Does that look like a feeling of hopelessness? A feeling of dread? Is that a guy saying, I'm so stressed, I can't deliver the milk? The British have this wonderful phrase, keep a stiff upper lip. Don't give in. Don't give up. Do your job. Be faithful, being found at your post. I don't know who this man is. I don't know if he was a Christian, but I'll say this. That ought to be the feeling every follower of Jesus Christ has. No matter what the outcome of the election, no matter what shape the economy is in, no matter what happens with our foreign policy, we will be found faithful doing our job. Friends, that's what God's called us to. The British had this wonderful phrase that the War Department set out in the 40s when things looked the darkest that they could look. I got it on my wall on a little sign in my office. It says this. keep calm and carry on. Friends, that's what we need to do. There are a lot of people in our society, our fellow citizens, our neighbors, our co-workers, our friends, our relatives. They're filled with fear and anxiety. Our job is to give them hope. Our job is to provide a little perspective. Our job is to remind them that Jesus is on the throne. And as long as we can say that, well, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.